self-realization. But due to this dangerous age, men have completely forgotten the aim of life. In this age, the lifespan will gradually decrease. People will gradually lose their memory, finer sentiments, strength, and better qualities. A list of the anomalies for this age is given in the 12th canto of this work. And so this age is very difficult for those who want to utilize this life for self-realization. The people are so busy with sense gratification that they completely forget self-realization. Out of madness, they frankly say that there is no need for self-realization because they do not realize that this brief life is but a moment on our great journey towards self-realization. The whole system of education is geared towards sense gratification. And if a learned man thinks it over, he sees that the children of this age are being intentionally sent to the slaughterhouses of so-called education. Learned men, therefore, must be cautious of this age. If they want to at all to cross over the dangerous ocean of Kali, they must follow in the footsteps of the sages of Naimasharanya and accept Sri Siddha Goswami, or his bona fide representative, as captain of the ship. The ship is the message of Lord Krishna in the shape of Bhagavad Gita or the Srimad Bhagavatam. Oma Gyan Timirandasya Ginangina Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Jainatasmai Sigurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sapitam Jena Bhutale Shwayam Rupakadamayam Dadantisva Padantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasani Gaur Bhaktivrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama. So today we are accepting these four candidates as disciples in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, in accordance with Srila Prabhupada's purport that everyone must accept a bona fide spiritual master in order to cross over this dangerous age of Kali. Even 5,000 years ago, Krishna stressed this point. Tadvidi paripatena paripashana sevaya upadikshanti teginam ganinas tatvadarjana. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service to him. The self-realized souls can give you knowledge because they have seen the truth. Just like in any field of education, we require the help of a teacher. If you want to learn something, then you can try it on your own. There's many books like that in the shop. You know, you can learn Polish in 10 easy lessons. But more or less, it's just business. It's just cheating. Because when you actually buy those books and you try to learn Polish in 10 easy lessons, it doesn't work. Believe me. Especially Polish. Dzień dobry. Dziękuję bardzo. Many years in Poland is the only words we know. So there's many books like that in the shop, you know, that you can learn a subject on your own. But anyone who's serious about learning something, they have to accept a teacher. Because a teacher imbibes the knowledge, and he can give it to you by proper training. So how much more so that is true in Krishna consciousness? If we must go to the university to learn some mundane subject matter, like mathematics, or, I just said that because I don't like mathematics, it's a mundane, useless thing like mathematics, 6 times 6 is 84, or history, or geography. Of course, some of these things are necessary. But even for that, relative knowledge, which has some beginning and some end, it's limited knowledge. You go to school, you learn for some time, and then you learn everything that's known, and that's it, isn't it? Relative knowledge has a beginning, a middle, and an end. But absolute knowledge is different. Unlimited knowledge about Krishna. Because Krishna himself is always expanding. Actually, Ananta Shesha, who is an expansion of Lord Balaram, one of his pastimes is that he's simply saying different names of Krishna. Every second, he says a new name of Krishna, and throughout the infinity of time, he's never said the same name twice. This is God. Ananta Shesha is an expansion of God. We can remember a few names, but quite often we find ourselves, Prabhu, what was your name again? But Ananta Shesha, you know, since the beginning of time, he's been chanting different names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna. So Krishna has unlimited. That is spiritual. But mundane knowledge has a beginning
and it has an end.
So we have to approach a teacher to learn that knowledge. How much more so then to learn Raja Vidya? Krishna says, Raja Vidya, Raja Guryam. This is the king of all education. And this course never ends. Actually, Prabhupada, I was listening to a tape the other day. Prabhupada said, even in the spiritual world, our spiritual master continues to instruct us in confidential service to the Lord. Never ends. And Krishna is unlimited. So, if we need a teacher in the material world to learn some mundane, limited subject matter, how much more so do we require the teacher in spiritual life to learn Raja Vidya, Raja Guryam, the king of all education? Actually, everyone in the material world requires a spiritual master. One requires a teacher when one is in ignorance. One requires a spiritual master when one is in illusion. Ignorance is something. We may be ignorant of it, but when we're in illusion, that's much deeper. That's very deep ignorance. So people may be ignorant, they may be educated by mundane education. But even if you become very intelligent in mundane education, if you don't know that your spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna, and the goal of life is to awaken your love for God, you may have a PhD, but you're a fool. You're an illusion. You don't know what happens at the moment of death. You don't know what is God. Your education is on the level of animal existence, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So all of us require, because all of us are an illusion, Prabhupada said every intelligent man requires a spiritual master. Because all of us, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, are born into illusion, overcome by desire and hatred. Every one of us. Therefore, all of us need to come out of illusion. The only way we can come out of illusion is to accept the help of a bona fide spiritual master. Originally, we were all spiritual, but somehow or other we have fallen into this material creation, and as a result, we've accepted this body. And what is this body? This body is simply an abode of suffering. So many problems. Birth, disease, old age, death. So all of us require the help of a spiritual master to overcome these problems. Because these problems cannot be solved by science and technology. Science and technology have been around for hundreds of years, and they haven't solved the problem yet. You know, man is very advanced. He solved this problem and that problem. But they have not solved the problem of taking birth. They have not stopped disease. Maybe, let's say they stop AIDS, something else will come because of their sinful activities. The reaction will come. No one has yet stopped old age. They haven't even stopped one wrinkle. And no one has stopped death. The only one who can stop this is Krishna or his spiritual master by instructing us in Krishna consciousness. Bhakti mam avijananti vanyas chasmi tatvataha. Krishna said, I can be understood only through this process of devotional service, and when one is in full understanding of me, he can return to the kingdom of God. Thus, all problems are solved. So material life is very problematic, and to solve the problem, we have to approach the spiritual master. Anyone who remains in the painful condition of material existence is a fool. Someone who thinks he's happy while he's constantly being agitated by the modes of nature, constantly being disturbed by adiatmic, adibhotic, and adidaitic, he's a fool. To remain in a painful, suffering condition is the mentality of a sadist. A sadist is one who likes to inflict pain on himself or on others, and he enjoys that. It's a very demented mentality. There are actually people who like to cause pain to others. It's hard for us to imagine because as Vaishnavas, we simply like to cause others to be happy. Vanchakalpa turubhyascha kripasindubhyascha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha. Our happiness is seeing others happy and our pain is seeing others suffer. But there is a demented mentality in this material world where people with the criminal mentality, they take pleasure when they see other people suffering. Bhaktivinoda Thakur discusses this in one of his songs, taking the position of a materialist. He says, my happiness is when I see other people suffering. One line from one of his songs. So this is the sign of a madman, one who takes pleasure in suffering. But actually everyone, Prabhupada said, in the material world is crazy because everyone is thinking they're happy in this world of distress. Everyone is thinking they're happy. I remember, it's like yesterday I sprained my ankle. So I remember I had a friend, he broke his leg one time. I went to the hospital in France and I said, so how are you doing? Oh, ça va. Ça va. So that means everything's all right. What's all right? You broke your leg, it's hanging up in the air. You know, you can't move, you can't pass urine. But, you know, the mentality is, ça va, everything's okay. So people are going on in material life, practically at no moment are they experiencing happiness. Their happiness, Prabhupada said, is a relief of their painful condition. But they're thinking everything is all right. This is a type of... an intelligent person, he wants to get freed from the painful condition. Just like... I sprain my ankle, so if I think, oh, this is very nice, I'll hobble around like this for a few weeks, and this is ecstasy. No, my first reaction is, let me go back to the apartment and put it in some hot water and get it better. This is intelligent. So brahmanas are the most intelligent, and they are meant to see the miseries of material existence, and they're meant to find a solution to it. A brahmana cannot tolerate this situation. So therefore, what is the solution? Who can solve the problem? Who can solve the ultimate problems of birth, disease, old age and death? Only Krishna. And Krishna instructs us through his representative. So if we follow the spiritual master, then actually we can overcome birth, disease, old age and death, and go back to the spiritual world. When you read Vaishnava literature, description of the spiritual world, there's no problems, actually. It's no problems. You read Chaitanya Charitamrita, you read Krishna book. Even if there are some problems, Krishna is so expert, he takes care of them in one instant. When the demon comes, finished. Even powerful demons, Trinivarta, Putana, Agasura, for Krishna very nonchalantly. So there's actually no problems in the... So we have to follow guru out of material existence. That is the point. Leader means one who can take you from darkness to light, one who can take you from ignorance to truth, one who can take you from the material world to the spiritual world. That's a real leader. There's so-called leaders in this material world, but they're not real leaders because they're not leading. They're taking their followers backwards. Therefore, they're called Gauru. What does Gauru mean, Chintamani? Vilas, I explained it the last initiation lecture. What does Gauru mean? Yes, Gauru means cow. So there's guru and there's gauru. It's similar, like they used to chant, Bande guru, bande gauru, shi charanada vindam. But it's stop. Oh, Prabhupada, we're chanting your glories. You're calling me a cow. All glories to the cow. Not gauru, guru. That's they write sometimes with different accents in different parts of the world. Bande gauru, shi charanada vindam. So Prabhupada, no, I'm not a cow, I'm your guru. And Prabhupada told one story that used to be related by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati to show the principle, if we don't follow guru out of material existence, we have to follow gauru, unauthorized authority, into material existence. He said that there was once a man, who was a blind man, and he was going to see, he was going to see his father-in-law. Because he was blind, he got lost on the way, and he was groping around, please, somebody help me, help me. And he came across a cowherd man who had some cows and some bulls. And he said, please help me, I want to go to the house of my father-in-law. So the cowherd man said, oh, no problem, this particular cow right here, he actually belongs to your father-in-law. He wandered into this herd somehow. But actually, if you just grab his tail, and you give him a little kick on the backside, then, he'll take you home, even if you're blind, no problem. So the blind man, he, you know, caught on the back of the tail, and he gave a big kick, bah! The backside of the cow. Now, if you know, cows are especially sensitive back there. You kick, touch them there, and pew, you get a good kick. And we go, and he started taking off. And he started running through the bushes and the brush and the thickles and this and that and every the stickers and thorns and between the trees and through the rivers and over the sharp rocks and down the mountain and, you know, It's about 25 kilometers to his father-in-law's house. So all the while, you know, this foolish man is holding on the back of this, you know, Gauru, 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 I'm simply following behind you, chanting Gauru. He's grabbing, going, so finally, after a long time, you know, his clothes were ripped off, he was scratched, he was bruised, he was bleeding. He got to the house of his wife, his father-in-law. But when he got there, nobody could recognize him because he was such a mess. So the chokidar, the guard, he said, what do you want? He said, oh, you know who I am? My wife's husband, my wife's father lives here. I want to. He said, you pastor, you rascal, you say that you're the son-in-law of this gentleman of this house? You're just a rogue. And beat him with a stick. Ah, ah. You go away. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he used to tell the story to illustrate that what is the fate of one who follows Gauru? That they lead the blind and they all fall into the ditch. Therefore the Vedic Shastra instructs us that no one should become a king, no one should become a guru or a Gauru, whatever, a guru, no one should become a parent, no one should become a teacher unless they can deliver their dependents from the cycle of birth and death. So we must find such a representative of Krishna and follow him out of problematic material existence. So who is that person? How do we recognize? What is Guru? Tadviginatam sagurum evabhigachat samitpanishrotaniyam brahmanishtam. The Bhagavatam informs us, to learn transcendental subject matter, one must approach a spiritual master. The symptoms of such a spiritual master is that he's expert in understanding the Vedic conclusion, and he's always engaged in devotional service. So such a spiritual master instructs us in devotional service, and by taking up such instructions, we become qualified to go to the spiritual world. One has to be qualified to go to the spiritual world, just like Jesus says in the Bible, not all that call upon me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Nowadays, religion has become irreligion, and irreligion has become religion. Topsy-turvy. People think it's so easy. I'll simply call myself a Christian, call myself a Hindu, call myself a Muslim, a Jew. And on the basis of that, I'm qualified to go to the spiritual world. But even Jesus warned such mundane neophyte followers. Not all that call upon me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. We have to become qualified. And qualified means we have to accept 100% the instruction of our spiritual master. Then we can become qualified. You have to be qualified to go to the spiritual world. This mentality that I will simply, you know, superficially practice religion will not get one to this. That mentality is actually a demoniac mentality. To try to achieve something for nothing. Just like Ravana. Ravana, he wanted to go to heaven. So he built a staircase. He was thinking, I'll just build a staircase and I'll make it there. So he was very powerful. Of course, his accumulated riches were, we can hardly understand how rich he was. He had all the gold from Brazil. Ravana lived in Lanka and he drilled a hole through the earth to Brazil. And from Brazil, he had a tunnel which came to Lanka. So he accumulated vast amounts of gold. I saw this tunnel. Actually, this tunnel is in Rio de Janeiro. This tunnel is like the mouth of a demon. It's a cave on top of a mountain which overlooks Rio de Janeiro, just next to the Christ, who's like this. There's a big, big cave. And it, you know, there's big boulders on top of the cave that look like eyes. And there's like, looks like mustache, big demoniac mouth there, and you go in and you take a big boulder and you throw it into the hole and you listen. And you never hear, it just, you don't hear anything, it just goes and goes, you know, how deep it must be. And they ask Prabhupada, is that the tunnel of Ravana? Prabhupada said, yes, could be. Anyway, this is where he got his accumulated gold. So, fabulously wealthy, he thought on his material merits, right? His accumulated wealth and his power and his strength, you know, he could achieve the kingdom of God. He was able to achieve everything within this material creation, but he couldn't go an inch into the spiritual world. To go to that, beyond that point of the Virata River, which divides the material and the spiritual world, you have to have a passport. You have to have a visa. What is that visa? Premanjani Charity Bhakti Valojanena. You have to have love of God. When you get there, they're going to ask you, you know, where's your visa? And you just go, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. All right, come on in. Like when you approach the front, the immigration here, they ask you, so, you have a criminal record? No, sir. Are you addicted to drugs? No, sir. What do you do here, tourist? So when you get to the Virata River, the guards, they'll ask, Jayan Vijay, so, you have any qualifications? Just the mercy of my spiritual master. You take intoxication? No, sir. Not for 50 years. Didn't take it, you know? Illicit sex? No, sir. Gambling? No, sir. All right, come on. So we have to be qualified. So how do we get those qualifications? We get those qualifications by the mercy of our spiritual master. Actually, we have no qualification. What is our qualification? Look at our past life. But if we render a little bit of service to our spiritual master, he's pleased, and he recommends us to Guru Parampara, who recommends us to Krishna. That is all. It is on the recommendation. Just like in this material world, you try to approach some big personality. It's not easy. But if you know someone who knows him, then it's much easier. Therefore, they say it's not what you know, it's who you know. So the same applies in Krishna consciousness. It's not what you know. What can you know? Krishna is unlimited. But it's who you know. If you know one of Krishna's confidential servants, then he'll say, I recommend him. On your recommendation, I accept. Therefore, Prabhupada said, if the spiritual master accepts a disciple, it's to be understood that the spiritual master is recommending that disciple to Krishna. And if the disciple later leaves Krishna consciousness, it's a great embarrassment for the spiritual master. Why have you recommended that person? Oh, sir, I thought he was qualified. On your recommendation, I accepted, now that he's left. So therefore, we should consider seriously that if we leave, it's a great embarrassment to the spirit. So therefore, we should never leave. So what is our qualification? Who we know? What we know is also important, because we must also have knowledge in Krishna consciousness. But what can we know, especially with these brains and colleagues? But if we can please our spiritual master, then Krishna is pleased, and by that service, we become qualified to go to the spiritual world. Otherwise, there is no other qualification. That's why there was a great devotee. His name was Dakshinatya. And Dakshinatya, he pointed out particular personalities who apparently had no qualifications, but they were able to achieve the mercy of the Lord by the grace of their guru. He said, where was the hunter Dharma's piety, Dhruva's maturity, and Gajendra's knowledge? Where was Kubja's beauty? Where was Sudama Brahman's wealth? Where was Vidura's noble birth? Where was Ugrasen's chivalrous strength? They had none of these things. But the Lord accepted them, because Lord Madhava is pleased only by devotional service and not by any material qualifications. So if you study each one of these personalities, you can see that they had a handicap in so many ways. Dharma, of course, in this pastime, he was a very impious hunter. But by the mercy of his guru, he received instruction in Krishna consciousness, and he gave up his impious activities and became a qualified devotee, just like the hunter Palan. Magrari, the hunter. What qualification did he have? So many sinful activities. But he received the mercy of a Vaishnava, and then he became qualified. Dhruva's maturity? Don't you think to approach the Supreme Lord, one has to be mature? How could a little boy approach the Supreme Personality? A little boy. You have to wait till you grow up. Then you can become serious and practice Krishna consciousness and become... Little boys just play all day. Just like when Dhruva went to the forest with great determination, then Narada Muni approached. He was, what? Little boy? What are you doing performing such austerities in this forest? I'm looking for Krishna. I'm 5 years old. Dhruva said, can you help me find Krishna? If you can't help me find Krishna, Dhruva said, or that Narada said, well, I think you should go home, little boy. This is not a place for little boys, the forest. So Dhruva said, can you help me find Krishna? If you can't help me find Krishna, you go home. But I'm going to stay here and find Krishna. And then Dhruva said, oh, this boy is very serious about finding God. I will give him instructions. I'll give him one mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So where was Dhruva's maturity? He had no maturity, but he received the mercy of a Vaishnava. He became qualified. Gajendra's knowledge. One has to have knowledge in order to go back to Godhead. One cannot be a fool. You have to understand Krishna consciousness. This is Buddhi Yoga, the yoga of intelligence. Unless one has knowledge, he cannot proceed on the path of devotional service. But where was Gajendra? He was a stupid elephant. Hare Krishna. He appeared like that. Actually, he's a great devotee, but because of some offense, he appeared in the dumb body of an elephant. And he was in a distressful condition. And he raised his trunk. He tried to say something in glorification of the Lord. The Lord came. I think he put his conch on his head. He blessed him somehow. And then, eloquent prayers were coming. Beautiful prayers were coming. So the acharyas point out, where was Gajendra's knowledge? But he received mercy. He was able. Kubja's beauty. Kubja, you know, she was just a local village girl, Hare Krishna, and she was making sandalwood paste. And she was attracted in a lusty way. She approached the Lord out of lust. She didn't approach the Lord out of bhakti. She saw Krishna and Balaram walking through the streets of Mathura, like proud elephants, chivalrous elephants, walking to the... And she was, oh, she immediately... And she, hunchback old lady, long nose, like string bean, you know, ugly witch. So she, but she was attracted. So she put some sandalwood paste on Krishna's body. Krishna, so some little service has been rendered. No qualifications, sinful, hunchback woman. She rendered a little service to the Lord. Krishna was pleased. Krishna passed his hand over her. He straightened her up, actually. You know, pop. She lost her hunchback. She became a dazzling, beautiful young woman. So Dakshinetya points out, where was Kubja's beauty? But she got mercy. She got a little mercy. Where was Sudama's wealth? He approached Krishna. He couldn't offer Krishna anything. Some rice. His wife said, okay, when you go see Krishna, take something. Here's a little, you know how the Indian women do, they tie a little something in a handkerchief, you know. Here's some rice. So he took the rice. But because he offered it with some love and devotion, Krishna accepted it. He didn't have any wealth to offer the Lord. But the Lord says, patram pushram phalam tai. Just offer me with love a fruit, a flowerly. These things I will accept. So although he, from a material point of view, he was not very qualified because he offered a little, some little rice. Where was Vidura's noble birth? Vidura was born in to a Sudrani, the cook's wife. But because also he rendered some service. So the Lord accepted them all because Lord Madhava is pleased only by devotional service and not any material qualifications. So if we take shelter of the spiritual master, we can receive that mercy. But what does it mean to receive the mercy? The mercy comes in the form of instructions. That's the mercy. Sometimes, Guru Maharaj, give me your mercy, give me your mercy. But the mercy is there. The instructions are there. So many instructions are there. Just like the sun is always shining. So someone says, give me sunlight. Give me. Walk out into the sun, you have the sunlight. Prabhupada said that the relationship between the guru and the disciple is such that the guru is qualified, but there has to be the personal initiative on the part of the disciple. The disciple has to take up the instructions of the spiritual master in order to qualify for going back to Godhead. So what are the instructions? Well, Prabhupada has said there's different instructions, but they fall within two categories. What are those categories? Do's and don'ts. We're in disease conditions, so the spiritual master is instructing us. Just like when you go to the doctor, he gives two sets of instructions. He says, don't do this, and do this. Just like this morning, I was lamenting because of my swollen ankle, and I was walking around. So Prahlad said, don't walk on your ankle, and do put it in a pot of hot water. So this is how we become cured. There's do's, and there's don'ts. So what are the don'ts? Don't eat meat, don't have illicit sex, Don't take intoxication. Don't gamble. And what are the do's? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Actually, any bona fide religion requires that its followers abide by these rules, especially meat eating. Prabhupada said, of all the sinful activities, meat eating is the most sinful. How is that? Of course, you take life. In the other sinful activities, you generally just engage yourself in falling down into illusion. But in meat eating, in order to enjoy, you have to take the life of another. So it's considered the most sinful activity, meat eating. But actually, if you analyze it, meat eating leads to the other sinful activities. Because when you eat meat, then, this is Prabhupada's analysis, in order to digest the meat, he said, you have to take intoxication. Because the human body is not adapted to this horrible substance. Very difficult. So you have to drink liquor and alcohol, you know. And after having alcohol, one becomes sexually agitated. You see, as soon as one is drinking, oh, mon chéri. One engages in illicit sex, and then to maintain that illicit sex, one has to engage in gambling and illicit activity, just like Ajimil. Ajimil was born in a Brahmana family, but he fell down, he married a prostitute, and the Prabhupada said in order to maintain that prostitute, he had to engage in so much black market business. So if people can simply give up this one vice, meat eating, then it would be easier for us to convince them to give up all the other vices first. Therefore, we preach so strongly against meat eating. And therefore, programs like Food for Life and lunch programs, prasadam distribution are so important. Because if people can at least give up this activity of killing, then they can become so much more qualified to understand Krishna consciousness. Because one who kills for his sustenance, he's atmahana. Where did we discuss that? That was yesterday. So atmahana. Atmahana means killer of the soul. You can't kill the soul, but you can kill the soul's opportunities for self-realization by killing animals. And when we kill, we lose the most important of all human qualities. Human beings have the ability to awaken so many good qualities. But the most unique quality of a human being is what? Compassion. When we glorify that in the Vaishnavas are, they're a reservoir of good qualities. But their most important quality is their compassion. Now, when one begins to kill living entities, he begins to lose that sense of compassion. So much so that one becomes oblivious to the sufferings of others. Just look what's happening in Yugoslavia. If you think about it, you wonder how persons can go to such an extent as to kill women, to kill babies, torture them, rape them. How has it come to this point? Because they've lost their compassion. So therefore, so many atrocities are committed. So the beginning of losing compassion is when one begins to kill indiscriminately innocent living beings. And then naturally, one develops a very hard, of course, he is no longer sympathetic to any living being. So this principle is very important to follow. So therefore, as devotees, we are meant to be exemplary in human society. Aryan means first class society. So therefore it is only natural that devotees follow these four principles. And you become purified because these activities are the source of pollution within our hearts. We must give them up in order to become pure. Religion means to become purified so that you can approach God. How can one approach God in an impure state? Even in the material world, you don't approach a loved one in an impure state. You could just imagine if a boy is going to meet a girl. This is distracting. If a boy is going to meet a girl, or a girl is going to meet a boy, then, you know, they don't just, you know, don't take a bath for 6 months, and, you know, don't comb their hair, don't wear deodorant, you know, don't brush their teeth for 5 years, and then, you know, wash their clothes for 30 years, and then they go to see their friend. No, you go in a purified state. So how much so we must also approach our supreme lovable object, which is Krishna. Not only do we have to become externally clean by bathing at least twice a day, we have to become internally clean. How do we become internally clean? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Just like the body is constantly accumulating dirt as a result of associating with material energy, the subtle body is also accumulating dirt by associating with the material energy. We have two bodies. We have the gross body and we have the subtle body. Now we all know that if we want to remain healthy, we have to bathe every day because dirt means disease. So similarly, we have to bathe the mind every day because the mind is constantly coming in contact with so many materialistic objects and ideas and impressions. And unless you purify the mind, it will also become diseased, it will become warped. You have to purify, just like, I chanted 16 rounds last year, Prabhu. No, but your mind is constantly, you walk out of this door, immediately you're bombarded with so much dirt. You can't help it. Just the minute you walk on that street, you know, your mind is immediately polluted. I remember Srila Prabhupada, whenever we were walking with Srila Prabhupada, he was always chanting. He was the personification of Kirtanayad Sada Hari, constantly chanting the holy names. He was, Govindam Hari Purisham Tamaham Chintamani Bhagatasadamasu Kalpurikshu. Whenever he was teaching by example. Or I remember one time, we were walking in Paris. Hari Nam, Hari Nam, Hari Nam. I was like really impressed, you know. They have such conviction. But they're all, holy name was always decorating Prabhupada's lips like that. His holy name will protect us from all contamination. So to become purified, we have to chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Devotee naturally chants. The karmis don't want to chant. Prabhupada said there was that cartoon he saw. Someone was instructing. Chant, chant, chant. Can't, can't, can't. But if you want to become purified, if you want to develop love of God, then you must chant. And after a little while of chanting, then it comes very naturally. It's not difficult to chant. Therefore, Rupa Goswami prays. Now that we have become your devotees, your holy names have affectionately created a jubilant festival within our mouths. Your bodily splendor, like a dark rain cloud, has become the black ointment of our eyes. And the music of your flute has become the ornament of our ears. We no longer take pleasure in material desires. O Almighty Lord, material desires no longer appear beautiful to us. So this is what happens when you chant Hare Krishna. It creates a jubilant festival within your mouth. And the beauty of Krishna's name manifests, and the so-called beauty of the material world, it fades very quickly. But of course, chanting is not so easy. So therefore, we have to take a vow. Those in the advanced stage of Krishna consciousness, we could say Raga Nuga Bhakti, they spontaneously are engaging in devotional service. But because we still have some attraction for the material world and we're undisciplined, etc., then we have to take a vow to chant Hare Krishna 16 rounds every day. Prabhupada said that this, of all the instructions of the spiritual master, this is the most important instruction, to chant. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If we follow all the other instructions, but we neglect this instruction to chant 16 rounds a day, we cannot realize the other instructions. We cannot successfully execute them. We have so many things we have to do in devotional service. We should always remember that this chanting is the very foundation of our Krishna consciousness. And if we build a good foundation, we can build a beautiful building. But if the foundation is weak, no matter how nice the structure may appear, eventually it will fall. Just like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. It's a beautiful building. But it's like this, because the foundation was built in clay, and it's gradually just going like that. So our most important business is to chant and develop a proper foundation. So Today, these devotees are receiving Harinam initiation. Harinam initiation literally means that one gets the seed of the chanting. One gets the authorization to chant. Of course, chanting has always beneficial. But the moment of initiation, Prabhupada said, one actually receives the power to chant the Hare Krishna mantra and develop the full fruit of chanting, which is love of Godhead. So this is a very significant moment in these devotees' lives because it is the turning point in their material existence. And it is that moment where they're receiving the Harinam Diksha initiation. It is an eternal blessing. One time, Sukha Sajari, old god sister, she wrote to Srila Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, I lost my beads, so please send me another set of beads so I can chant." And Prabhupada said, "The chanting is not necessarily dependent upon the beads." He said, "These beads, those beads. Once one gets the Harinam initiation, once one gets the blessing to chant Hare Krishna from Guru Parampara, that is an eternal blessing." So it's a very significant moment to receive that seed of chanting Hare Krishna mantra. So, as we've discussed many times, when a seed is first put into the ground, then it begins to grow very slowly. A little creeper is there first. Like in India, you see, when they plant the trees, the little creeper is there. But because there's so many cows around and donkeys and goats, they have to build. You see a little tiny creeper. There's a huge, big fence around it. When you walk around Vrindavan, like Ranchor's project, Ranchandar, you know, when I went there after he started that project, planted the trees, I was amazed. There's a little tiny, like two leaves on the creeper, right? And it's like this huge fence around the, you know, about as high as the ceiling, and wire, barbed wire, and, you know. But, you know, the idea is that they wanted to protect that little creeper from the cows. So similarly, you know, Brahmanda Brahmati Kon Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasad Bhai Bhakti Lata Bees. The moment of initiation, that seed of love of Godhead planted in the heart of the disciple. But within the heart, there's some thieves who want to come and gobble it up. They're called lust, anger, and greed. And they love to chew on the bhakti creeper. It's like some insects, you know, those who are working with Tulsi Devi, you know, those little rascal insects, or certain insects, they just love to gobble up Tulsi. As a kid that we called them aphids. They have those here in England? Aphids are these little green bugs, and they just swarm onto them. You know, finish. So that tender creeper of devotional service, which is there as a result of getting the mercy from Guru and watering that creeper, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare. And some devotees like Krishna Chaitanya, it's a full-grown tree. Not only is it a full-grown tree with a huge trunk and strong branches and healthy leaves, but it's producing big, juicy fruits with no skins and no seeds, like mangoes. The fruits are this big, and they're juicy. And what is that fruit? Krishna prema, love of God. So if you have the vision, you can see. That's how come he stands so tall and straight, right? He's not like a little creeper, just, you know. Hey Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. But for the rest of us, well, there are others as well. But there's that little creeper, and the aphids are coming. Lust, bhakti creeper, I love it. Anger, I'm envious. And greed, you know, why not me? And you have to build a strong fence around it. So what is that fence? No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling. This is a perfect formula. You receive the seed of devotional service, and you promise your spiritual master, I will build that fence, and no holes will get into it. Good fences make good neighbors. So Mr. Lust, stay on the other side of the fence. Mr. Greed, Mr. Anger, you're on the other side. We're going to stay on this side and develop our Krishna consciousness. We don't want anything to do with you. No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex. Far, throw it to a far distant place. Protect that creeper of devotional service. And then, You go back next year to Vrindavan, you see, the creeper's a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger. So similarly, for a whole lifetime we take this vow. When we take the vow in front of the spiritual master, Prabhupada said, you've taken a vow in front of the deity, you've taken a vow in front of the guru, you've taken a vow in front of the Vaishnavas, you're taking a vow in front of the sacred fire of Vishnu, I will not break these principles. One time a devotee came to Prabhupada some years later and said, Prabhupada, I can't do it anymore. I can't follow all the principles. So what did Prabhupada do? Did he try to? No, Prabhupada said, but you promised. You take things so cheaply. The devotees broke down. Okay, I'll do it. I'll try. That was Prabhupada's two simple sentences. But you promised. You take it so cheaply. So these vows, we should be like Devarat. Bhishma Dev. He's known as Devarat because he took a vow. Of course, it was a special vow. I will not marry. We're not asking that, but we're asking for celibacy. But I will not, because his father wanted to marry. Anyway, we know the story. Bhishma wanted his father to marry so that he could have a wife and continue the kingdom. So Bhishma had to take a promise as a young boy that the sage would give his daughter. And when he made that promise, for the sake of my father, I shall follow this vow for the rest of my life. I shall remain brahmachari. Da-dum, da-dum, boom! From the heavens, the kettle drums were beating and the violins and the sitars and everything, saxophone. Do it, you know. So what's the big deal? Kali Yuga, you know. I'm a neophyte devotee, you know. I mean, Guru Maharaj has to understand, you know, just this one time. You know. But one time, give him an inch, they'll take a mile. You put a little hole into the fence, and you know, and then the rats are expert at that, right? You make a little hole, they knot, and they kind of squeeze, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. As soon as we surrender to sense gratification, as soon as we surrender, the first time we surrender to our material desires, it just makes the hole a little bit bigger, a little bit easier to rip. A little bit easier to give in the next time. And the fact becomes weak, and then everything starts coming in. So we should be like Bhishma Dev. We should be staunch. Why? Disciple means discipline. We should be disciplined. We're taking a vow in front of my guru. Guru Maharaj, I promise. That means there's no turning back. When Prabhupada was giving sannyas initiation, he said, I'm giving you two instructions, Satsvarup Maharaj, ki. Giving you two instructions. Never look back and think that you've left anything behind. And never envy the position of the materialist. This is a beautiful instruction for the sannyasi. Never look back and lament, ah, I left a beautiful wife. The kids were so sweet. The house was warm. There was always Khichdi and Rasgullas. What did I get myself into anyway? Out here on a cold street with just my hard dunda. Never look back and think you've left anything behind. And actually, he said, never envy the position of the householders. Actually, this instruction is applicable for all of us because Prabhupada said, in essence, every devotee is like a sannyasi, although we don't formally accept, because we have to be firm in our conviction to renounce the material world. Because unless you renounce the material world, you can't go to the spiritual world. You can't have one foot in and one foot out. Like the monkey who tried to get the banana out of the jar. He poked his hand to the jar, made a verse when he grabbed the banana, but because he had a fist, he couldn't get his hand out of the jar. But neither did he want to let go of the banana. But to get his hand out of the jar, he let go of the banana, but he wanted his cake and eat it too. So in the same way, we can't hold on to sense gratification, hope against hope. I'm going to become Krishna conscious. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare. To maintain material attachments, even after hearing so many instructions on this matter, is an offense to the holy name. It may be tolerated in the beginning that we can come and we have some bad habits, but at least by the time we take initiation, we should become convinced. At least, I want to let go of the banana, and I want out. We have to become convinced like that. That is strength. Renunciation is actually a strength. Krishna is glorified. It's one of his opulences, strength, to be renounced. So, not everyone is asked to be a sannyasi, but we should be convinced that the material world is not our home, that we want to go to the spiritual world, and we should at least, when we sit down and take these vows, we should become convinced that, yes, I will not break them the rest of my life. And then that fence will be protected. And therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said at a famous initiation ceremony, I see no reason why all my disciples cannot go back to the spiritual world. Famous statement. Yeah, he's giving initiation life. He said, the process is so simple. You follow these four principles, and you follow this most important instruction 16 rounds a day. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. You so say with the devotees, render service according to your ability, you can go to the spiritual world. Simple for the simple-minded, crooked for the crooked-minded. It's actually a very simple process. Therefore, you read Prabhupada's letters, and he was always stressing, yes, just chant your rounds, your prescribed quota, follow the four regulative principles, live in the association of devotees and perform devotees, and there's no doubt, Prabhupada said, you'll go back to Godhead. You read the letter books, you'll probably find that statement more than any other statement. Constantly saying, you're all going back home to Godhead, just because the process, but somehow or other, even those simple things we have difficulty doing. Following the principles, finishing our quota of rounds, etc. But if we can become serious about that, the foundation, then everything else will come. So today, these devotees are taking these vows, the do's and the don'ts. They're not going to ever again engage in those four illicit activities, and every day they're going to follow this most important instruction, 16 rounds, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare. But we all know, again, we'll quote the Bible. I quote the Bible a lot these days. The heart is willing, but the flesh is weak. So therefore, our weaknesses are made up in the association of the Vaishnavas. Whatever weakness we may have, we are supported by living in the association of devotees. By the mercy of the devotees, whatever discrepancies we have, whatever inadequacies we have, it's made up by the mercy of the Vaishnavas we're living with. So we're all fragile, we're all beginning this path, so we'd like to request today that all the Vaishnavas present, you give these devotees your kripa. Because only by the combined mercy, Hari Guru Vaishnava, God, Guru and the Vaishnava, all in the same line, Hari Guru Vaishnava, Narottam Das Thakur is singing, Hari Guru Vaishnava, Bhagavata, which means devotees also, Bhagavata Gita, it's not Bhagavad Gita, it's Bhagavata Gita. Gita is there, but Bhagavat means devotees. So, Hari Guru Vaishnava, Bhagavata Gita, two times the Vaishnavas are stressed. So by the combined mercy of God, Guru, and the Vaishnavas, we proceed in the path back home, back to Godhead. Not only the Guru who can do it, but the combined mercy of all the Vaishnavas. So this is their initiation. Initiation means actually the beginning, a solid beginning of spiritual life. So they're requesting initiation. So along with myself, on the request of Śrīdhara Prabhupāda, acting as the Guru, I request everyone here to please you give them your blessings, your mercy, so that they can be successful in following these principles and chanting and developing love of Godhead within this lifetime. And also we ask Śrīdhara Prabhupāda to please bless them. And Lord Jagannath, Lady Subhadra, Lord Balaram, Lakshmi Devi, Lord Narasingadev, Shishi Gauranitai, Lord Giriraj, and of course Shishi Radha London Ishwara. Then everything will be successful. Grantara Shima Bhagavatam Ki. Śrīla Prabhupāda Ki. Shri Shri Radha Landanishwara Ki. Shri Guru Parampara Ki. Go Premanandi.
Krishna Tumna Swami Maharaj Ki.